Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we got ourselves a great Talking Hoops today. We should be covering a lot of territory, but we're going to start off right away with someone from the other side of the state, the head coach of the Eastern Washington Eagles, Shante Leggins. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Jay Townsend, are you there also in Spokane?
You bet I am, and good to see you, Coach.
Hey, good to hear from you again.
Absolutely. Well, we're really excited to see what this Eastern Eagles team is going to look like. You guys are just gearing up for the season here right now. What can you say just right off the bat about just how things have been going in practices and fall workouts?
It's been going great. You know, guys are starting to get, you know, acclimated with me, understand what I'm
and, you know, what they're really doing is they're really competing. And so we got a really good, you know, group of guys that really want to compete. I feel like I got two guys at every position that can play. So we'll have a lot of competition. You know, you can't play all 13 guys, but we have a good system of guys that, you know, they understand, you know, the importance of working hard and, you know, trying to get to that championship level.
Right, exactly. I get that. And right now, the way things are looking, just based on the reports that are out there, you guys are more or less picked to be about the middle of the pack for this Big Sky Conference, which is really starting to pick up steam over the last few years. is starting to become a real tough league. It always has been tough, but it's there's really some outstanding stories there. Last year, you guys were second place. Only one game out, as you know, because you were the assistant there. We've interviewed you before as the assistant, and a number of times. So, what's different about the league this year?
Well, last year we were also picked seventh. You know, it's kind of tough to in our league to choose who's going to be the top and the bottom. But you know, you got some guys that are clear cut who've had guys that are here. There's some veterans. So a lot of our guys, you know, the better players stay in the league, you know, and they don't transfer. I mean, Southern Utah had a kid that ended up transferring to LSU. That kind of hurt them. He was a really good player. He was an all-league guy last year, had 43 points in a conference final game. So he's a really good player. But teams, they're older. You can tell the teams that are picked to win are usually older teams. And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, experience in our league. And we have guys that, you know, we have some players in our league that, you know, can do multiple things. We have a tough league to guard, you know. We have skilled guys. And so that usually, you know, means, you know, you either got to be a good defense, you know, good defensive team, or you got to be one of the better offensive teams. And so you got to choose what you're going to, you know, be able to do. And then our league right now, I think we have some of the best offensive players, you know, stat-wise, you know, team-wise. You know, we have teams shooting over 40% from three. I mean, they're the top, you know, the top 10 in the country in field goal percentage. It's a tough league when it comes down to that. We have veterans, and we have a lot of really, really good coaches in our league. And so it makes it a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. And your team's got your roster pretty well filled out nicely on the site here. And I mean, there's a lot of returning players. There's some new guys that obviously have got some pedigree. Tell one more question before I pass it over to Jay for a question. Who are some of your top players that you're counting on this year for to really help you win?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, we're going to have probably the all-time leading scorer in Bogdan Bliznik once he leaves our school. I think he'll be one of the, you know, top 10 players ever to play in the Big Sky for 4 years. He's going to leave here as the all-time winningest player, playing the most games, you know, has the most points scored, being the top 10 in rebounds, being the top 10 in assists. So he's one of those, you know, senior kids I was telling you about who's really good. He's a great player. I think, you know, he's right up there in the MVP race. And then you have, you know, Sir Washington, who's a senior also, who's been here for 5 years. He's a fifth-year senior. Another guy who stayed the course and, you know, is a really good player. We're expecting big things out of him. We have a 7-foot transfer that a lot of schools don't know about just because of, you know, he's had bad luck throughout his career with coaching staff, you know, getting fired if he's redshirting or, you know, if he gets hurt, you know. So the two coaches that he went to go play for out of college, they both, you know, lost their jobs. One One was, you know, due because they couldn't win any games. The other one just was fired because of illness, but he was pretty good at both places. He just didn't get the opportunity he needs. And then, of course, we have guys who started last year with, you know, Luka, our point guard, and then Mason Petling, who's, you know, another 6'8 kid who can, you know, play inside, play outside. And, you know, we've had a great spring with Jesse Hunt and Ty Gibson and Cody Binzel. And so those are all the returners. And then the new guys, you know, it's just looking forward to seeing what they can do when the lights are on. You know, you get all these accolades in high school and you can do a lot of different things, but you never know. That experience shows itself so much once, you know, season starts, once practice gets going, because you have these high aspirations for all these kids. But, you know, once they get here and they play against the Bogdan, they're like, oh, man, he's really, really good. And so you got to wait for them to get experience to see what they can really give you during the season.
That makes a lot of sense. Jay Townsend, do you have a question for Coach Leggins?
You bet. Shante, I wonder, how did you manage to get Brendan Howard out of Montana? That was quite a coup, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, he fought tooth and nail, I tell you. Well, we started recruiting him really early. He plays on a pretty good AAU team that, you know, turns out pretty good D1 players, and, you know, we have a good relationship with those guys. We recruited a couple of those guys, and what happened was, you know, we went in early, and we just recruited him. And he has Montana. Montana State came a little bit later. Montana State was recruiting him pretty tough. San Francisco came in pretty late. But, you know, to get him out of Montana, especially away from Montana State, was really big because his mom, his dad, and his brother all went there. And his mom, you know, left a bunch of all-time leading rebounders, scorer. His brother played on Montana State, was, you know, first team all league, was really, really good. So we got lucky. I'm glad he wanted to go against his family. I couldn't be happier. The kid's playing really good.
Yeah. He's, I guess he was named the all freshman guy or something preseason.
Yeah, he was big picked sky. Freshman of the year. You know, he was.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of the kids we're talking about. He was 2-time Gatorade Player of the Year out of Montana. And to go in there and get a player like him out of Montana is pretty tough. But he's a great kid, great teammate, and he does a good job leading.
Well, we're looking forward to watching him for the next year or 4 years. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was going to say, that sounds very promising. And it sounds to me like he's quite a player, just looking over his bio and such. Yeah, it just sounds like you're getting some recruiting done. And basically, we can't talk about the 2018 class, but you're out there. And I noticed that there's a lot of good players in state in 2018 and 2019 and beyond in the state of Washington. And I'm sure that's a big factor for you guys. How big of a factor is recruiting the Puget Sound area for what you do?
It's big. You know, it's really big because we want to go out there and get kids from there. You know, I think it's a big enough state where, you know, they sometimes guys miss on some of these kids. I mean, Bogdan didn't have a scholarship offer coming out of high school. And luckily he chose to come to Eastern. But, I mean, we went over there, watched him play, you know, for a little while, and he was really, really good. And we got a kid, you know, we've been over there in the 2018 class. And, you know, in November you guys are going to be excited because we got some guys from over there. And so it's exciting to be able to go over there and recruit because the talent is so good. But also, over here on the east side, I know, you know, there's some really good players over here too. So the state of Washington has players, and, you know, you just got to go find those guys. Sometimes, you know, they don't play on the best AAU team, and they don't even play AAU basketball just because of where they live, you know. Richland's got some really good kids. Gonzaga just got a commitment from a kid who's really good. I mean, there's a lot of young kids in this area that are really good. You just got to go watch them, and that's what, you know, my staff and myself are out there doing. We're watching kids from this area because it's really important to get kids from this area, you know, to want to come to Eastern Washington. We have a great school. I mean, you know, our academics are, you know, we have one of the bigger freshman classes this year at Eastern, and I mean, it's just our school's building, and there's a lot of good things about, you know, what we got. Our campus is beautiful. We have great facilities. You know, it's a fun place to be at. And a lot of people come to Eastern. And so, you know, we want to keep doing that. In-state tuition, I think we have the lowest in-state tuition in the state. And so we want people to come to Eastern Washington, but we also want to recruit those kids because they feel like they're playing at home, and they are home. You know, state of Washington's home. A lot of these kids are really loyal to their state, I tell you.
Absolutely. That's truly true. So just getting back to what you mentioned before, the Tri-Cities, Stephen Bayo is a player that, you know, got a lot of big time looks out of high school, ended up at BYU, had a good freshman year there. And now he's out there with you guys. Is he sitting the year? Or is he able to play for you this year?
Yeah, he's sitting the year. He's a big time player. I'm looking forward to coaching him. He's got one of the best attitudes I've ever been around. He's an unbelievable kid, and he's great with our guys. He's just great to have in our program. A player of his talent. I mean, he was probably if not the best player coming out of high school in his class. And for him to, you know, transfer from BYU and have a lot of schools, you know, to choose from, and he chose Eastern Washington. That's big for us because that's one of those kids we're trying to get. We want these kids to understand that Eastern Washington could be a home for them. And they can succeed and do, you know, get all their NCAA hopes and dreams here. Getting a kid like that and making sure we have that opportunity to coach kids like this and going out in the state and saying, hey, we got him to come here and look at how well he's done. You know, and so that's important for us. And he is a big-time player. So I'm looking forward to when he gets on the court.
Obviously you can have him practicing with you and all, but you can't play him this year. But even having him practice will be great. I mean, he's a great shooter, so he's going to get you guys motivated to guard, you know, great shooters, you know. And
he can shoot the ball from anywhere.
He can shoot
the ball from anywhere on the court. Fun to watch.
Yep.
Fun to watch.
Absolutely. So just getting back to some of your other kids, some of the new kids coming up. You mentioned a couple of them. As far as all the 2017 class, tell us about all the other guys that you haven't mentioned yet. What do they do and where do they come from and why are they there?
Okay, well, Richard Polanco, he's a Dominican player, but he's been in the States since he was in eighth grade. His name is he can play multiple positions, 1 through 5, I believe. Now, having him understand the offense and everything like that, obviously he's a freshman, but he's getting there, and he's a phenomenal passer, and he can do a lot of things with the basketball in his hands. So he can play point guard all the way being at that size, and he's a really good shooter. So it's fun to watch him go out there and play against these guys because, you know, he's just getting the hang of everything, but he's really, really talented. He was one of the top 150 players in America coming out of high school in some publications, so he chose Eastern over some pretty good schools. Then we got Kim Aiken. He's down from Los Angeles, the Redlands area. He's about 6'7". Another kid who could really shoot it. Reminds me a lot of Felix, but he rebounds and defends a little bit more than Felix did when he was a freshman. And so he's been exciting to watch. And then Tanner Groves from Shadle Park right here in, you know, Spokane. He's been a great, you know, he's just been a – he's been a how can I say it? He came in and he's worked his butt off and he's changed a lot of people's minds that come in and watch him practice. He's big time. He's going to be a really good player for us down the road. And so he's getting there. He plays aggressive. He can shoot the three. He's got soft touch, but he's really, really tough. And so I'm looking forward to getting him on the court when he gets his opportunity. We have a point guard from Australia named Jack Perry. Very good player. Could do a lot of different things with the ball, but he is a guy who can run the team and knock down open shots. They call him Little Deli on the team because obviously he's Australian and he's really tough. And so, you know, that kind of rounds out our freshman class. And we have a redshirt freshman named Jacob Davidson who could probably win an NBA dunk contest. I mean, he loves dunking more than anything else. But his game's coming along and he can shoot the threes, handling it pretty well, and he can get his own shot. So it's been fun to watch. It's been a lot of fun to watch him play because we've got to watch him as a freshman and he redshirted, but his progression since last year to this year is huge. And so it's been really good to see him take steps towards getting on the court. And those are our new coming guys. And I think we have a good bunch and I think they all compete and they're getting mentored by great guys. I mean, Bogdan Bliznick, to go in and watch him work out and watch him do things in the weight room, watch how he does things in the classroom. I mean, those guys are like they see that. And he got – Bogdan was a freshman. He got to see Parker Kelly and Tyler. And so, you know, you get that – you start getting that culture built, and these guys start believing in – these new guys start believing in what's going on. You know, it makes the job that easy, that much easier.
Sounds to me like it's really going to be a fun team to watch this year. And this conference, too, is really just something else. I mean, there's so much talent right now, and you guys obviously have a great winning tradition that you guys have built over the years, and obviously Coach Hayford, and with him moving over to Seattle U and everything, and it's, you know, it's really shown that, and then you're moving into the head coach there. There's really a continuity between the two styles and such. Is there going to be anything majorly different between you and Coach Hayford's style of coaching, the way that you like to model your teams?
Well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, he had great offensive philosophy. He's a great offensive coach. He built Eastern Washington and into a great, you know, place to be. And so I want to expand on that, get those guys to understand that, you know, it's great to be here. So defensively, we're switching some things up. We got some different philosophies defensively, but, you know, offensively, I mean, we're going to push the ball and get, you know, shoot threes and, you know, go inside out, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The guys like the style of play. We've been, you know, picking up pressure, and our guys are, you know, getting acclimated to what we're trying to do defensively, and that's going to be the biggest change is our defense and how we defend. So that's where it's going to you'll see a lot of difference there.
Sounds. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys look like. It's going to be really fun to watch. Jay Townsend, do you have another question for Coach Leggins?
Yeah. If you could tell us a little bit about Tyler Kidd, he looks like maybe one of your defensive specialists. So, fill us in there.
Well, Tyler Kidd is a good player. He's over from O'Day. He's a Seattle kid. He's something that we don't have. Our team is really big. We have a 6'6" point guard. Our backup point guard 6'2". We have a 7-foot center. We have a, you know, 6'8" 4-man and 6'7" 3-man. So we have a lot of size, but what we don't have are those little quick guards that we see a lot of, you know, being able to do a lot of things. And so we could change it up and use him. He's really quick. He's really good. He can get his own shot. And like you said, he is a pest on defense. And so our guys get to play against him every day, and they're getting better and better and better. Because he's making those guys better. And when he's able to, you know, understand what we're looking for, and be, you know, because his quickness is superior to everybody on our team. And so with him out there, he changes the way we look offensively, and he also changes what we do defensively, because he can pick the ball up and, you know, get some steals and make people uncomfortable.
Great. Well, I noticed on the schedule, Coach, you're a little road heavy to start, so I guess that'll get you prepared for those road trips later on. But, man, that's a brutal-looking early schedule.
Yeah, it is. It is brutal. But on the flip side, our guys are excited about these games. You know, we want to go out and play the best players we can play, the best teams we can play, because our ultimate goal at the end of the season is being Big Sky champs and going to the tournament. And so if we're going to go on the road, obviously we got to go to a neutral site and win, you know, 3 games, maybe 4 games. To get to the tournament, and so that's what we're pushing for. And our guys have one goal in mind. They all want to play in that tournament. They all want to, you know, win the Big Sky and play for a championship. And so, you know, having a tough schedule, it's pretty much it's the course when you're at our level. We have to go into some gyms and we have to go play some teams. But playing 10 in a row on the road, that's pretty tough. So I got to get better at scheduling, it looks like. And so we just break that thing up a little bit.
Well, you know, it's gonna test you guys. That's for sure. That's gonna be a big test for them. And you know, I guess as I know, you need to get going here. The last question I have for you here today. You know, obviously this Big Sky. You know, right now Idaho has been picked to win it. They got those two big time seniors with Callan Durrett and Victor Sanders, and a team with a lot of returning talent. You know, you've got Weber State's been a traditional power. Montana's got a lot of talent. Montana State's been a surprise team. And then North Dakota was the team that ultimately won it last year, at least went to the tournament. And then you guys are picked six here, you know, overall in the latest media poll. Tell mm-hmm. us about this conference as far as just those top six clubs. What type of talent are you facing to have to climb over to get to that championship this year?
Oh, well, we're facing a lot of talent. I mean, Montana has unbelievable guys who are sitting out who are really good. And they have, you know, some really, really good players that were playing last year. Ahmad Rory could easily, if they win the Big Sky, he could easily be the MVP. You know, they got some players on that team that, you know, are hard to guard. So they're really good. You didn't mention Northern Colorado, but they had some guys sitting out that's pretty good. And so we got to make sure, you know, we're able to guard these guys. And Idaho, obviously, they come back with their full team. And, you know, you got Weber State, who always reloads no matter what happens. They always got good players. And then Montana State. I mean, Montana State may have an NBA player on their team. I mean, you get calls from NBA scouts asking about them, and they'll be out watching them. Tyler Hall, I mean, he was picked the MVP of the league, and, he's really good. He can create a shot. He reminds me a lot of Tyler Harvey that we had at Eastern. He can get to any kind of shot he wants to, and he's confident doing it. And now the supporting cast around him have gotten better. You know, they've went and got a good freshman last year who was freshman of the year. Is their starting point guard. So now they got one of the best backcourts right now in the league. And so you got to look every night. There's not going to be any games. And NAU got some good transfer kids. And Sac State has an all-league guy that, you didn't mention. And Portland State has a new style of brand of basketball that is going to, it's different than what we've seen in our league. You know, a lot of people don't know. They're going to probably press and play a different style of basketball than we're used to. And, so that'll be a little different. And so, each team, and Southern Utah is always a tough out. They play hard. They're well coached. And so each team in our league, and Idaho State, they play this zone that's hard to guard, hard to score against. And so each team in our league is really good. And so you can't go in to a game thinking, oh, this team's, they didn't have a good preseason or they lost their first two games. You can get beat by anybody in the league. There's talent throughout this whole league. And, we got some players that are really good in this league. And so it's going to be fun to watch, to see how it all shakes out, because you never know. Some teams were picked last year. North Dakota wasn't picked first last year, but they took it all. The year we went to the tournament, we weren't picked first, but we took it. Last year we were a game away from being, Big Sky champs, regular season champs. We lost our last game to Northern Arizona, who was, I think, in 10th place. And so, you can't take any game lightly in our league. And, I just think the coaching in this league is tremendous. You got – every single night, you got different game plans, and every team comes prepared, and it's just fun. It's fun to compete against stuff like that, and you got to make sure you're ready night in and night out, and that's going to be my toughest job, is making sure our young guys understand how hard each game is going to be. Road games in our league is hard, and so, having good teams like the teams you mentioned, it's going to be a lot of fun to compete against those teams.
And the other thing, too, is that, a lot of people don't really realize how many NBA players and big time pros are coming out of your league. And there's a lot of parity really between what you guys are doing and all the other leagues out west. Because there's so much talent right now in basketball. And I'm just looking at, for instance, your guy, Jacob Wiley. Tell us what's going on with him. Obviously he had a really great summer league. And I know he made a fall camp there on an NBA roster. What's the latest on his career?
Well, he made the roster. So he's going to, the first game of the season, he's dressing up with the team. So he's on a two-way contract, which means he could play with the D League team the G League team, or he can play with the NBA team. And so he can go back and forth, but he's on the first, game day roster. So he'll be in uniform, he'll be suited up, and it's going to be exciting, because he made it, And he was, he played at Lewis and Clark, and they did a great job with him there. And, it built his confidence, and he came to Eastern and did great. And so, he's one of those guys that are a self-motivator. He came to Eastern that good. What we did at Eastern was give him confidence. We didn't, change a bunch of things about his game. We just said, hey, you're really, really good. And, I think he believed that after a little bit. And, there's some things that he worked on while he was here, but he came to a finished product, and he put himself in that position, and really excited to watch him do that. He comes in, he's the hardest worker, I've seen around. I mean, Tyler Harvey's right up there, Parker Kelly. and those guys. But those guys, they set themselves apart because how hard they work and how much they love the game. And so, you know, it's fun to watch him, you know, get to his dream. I mean, that's what he dreamed about since he was probably a little kid. And, you know, throughout the whole time, you know, he probably went through, you know, times where he wouldn't think he was going to make a basketball team. He didn't think he was going to play basketball again. And then, you know, he went to Lewis and Clark and had a great career, was All-American there, proved himself there and graduated, did everything he was supposed to do. He has a great relationship with those guys at that school. And then he came to Eastern and he was amazing. And so getting guys like that, and, you know, you get guys like that throughout the whole league. I mean, you get to see guys get better as freshmen, and you can tell who's an NBA player because of their work ethic and how they set themselves apart from other players. And he did that right when he got here. He had the team and everybody in awe because of his work ethic. And so we're excited to
watch
him go.
That's really impressive.
And, you know, yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on the show and visiting with this coach and I really thank you very much for coming on. And this is really going to be exciting watching your team this year and seeing what's going on and seeing what these guys look like on the court. And I thanks a lot for coming and being a consistent supporter of the show here.
Oh, it's a great show. You guys do a great job. I like listening to your interviews. You guys are always doing great stuff. So, yeah, thanks for having me. I don't mind coming on at any time. And you guys want to talk to some of my assistants, you know, you're always good for that too.
That's really kind of you. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Coach Shante Leggins of the Eastern Washington Eagles.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. See you soon. Take care. All right, Jay. So tell me what's your thoughts? Give me the breakdown. What do you think about Eastern right now?
It seems to have a really lot of players.
Yeah, he
does. Just a lot of players, and that I think makes you better and better because you're playing against. You know, you're playing to get on that starting five and the, you know, next three or four, and you're gonna just really improve. And he does have a lot of size, I tell you.
He's got more size than they normally have. It's true. Yeah.
Then he goes out and gets a quick guy to, you know, a quick defensive guy to store up that. It just seems that there's something about those Eagles that it's, just doing a great job, and look forward to seeing it. He starts out with Washington and then swings down to Stanford and over to UNLV and to Utah. And man, that'll toughen them up, and they'll be able to tune them up. And the one thing about the Big Sky is you want to get them strong towards the end, so you want to play the good teams and get better, see what you have, and that just sounds like a lot of fun.
He's definitely not scheduling down in his non-conference much. He's got the University of Providence, and I think that's in Montreal or something. I'm not sure where that is. That's an oddball deal, or is that Providence? I'm not sure what that is, but. He's definitely not scheduling down, Jay. He definitely is going for some big time teams. He's not scheduling the Kentuckys of the world or the Dukes, but he's scheduling teams all from big major conferences, one after the other, and even the ones that are on similar conferences to Big Sky. He's scheduling teams that are really strong teams, like Cal State Northridge is a good program right now. So Providence is in Montana, I guess. I've never even heard it. It must be a new school. So he's got one or two sort of new-ish. He's got a tournament with Georgia State and Prairie View and Eastern Kentucky. Those are teams that, you know, kind of actually fairly competitive, really. But that'll be – I mean, everything he's got going as far as this non-conference to me points that he's going to have these guys – ready and battle tested before he goes into this Big Sky, and he's right. The Big Sky has got a lot of talent. They really do. It's a league with all kinds of exciting stories to do. He mentioned Portland State and that Barrett Peary probably doing some sort of a press, high, fast paced kind of a system, and he really knows how to get talent, that Peary. So that could be a team that you could blow up in the next year or so. So there's just a lot to look forward to with Big Sky basketball right now. So Jay, speaking of things to look forward to, what about the Cougars? What's going on? What is the goal? Number one, the big news is Bill Moose, and I want to get your take on it first and foremost. Did I lose you? Oh, you're not going to talk about it?
Well, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I wondered why I tried to interject there. Yeah, I need to find out a little bit more about that Portland State system. And, yeah, Bill Moose, well, you know, it's like athletic directors are he kind of got done what he could get done, and the next part I think was going to be tough, and mm-hmm. he did an excellent job with the football facilities and getting a good football coach in there. And
mm-hmm.
He got a pretty good baseball coach, I think. And so mm-hmm. he evidently got a position that he was looking forward to going to work at a school that really needs his help. I think it's kind of funny, actually. I don't think Nebraska is kind of like, I don't know. It's tough to reclaim that glory. You know, a long time ago, Washington State had really good basketball teams, and then they had a couple of years of Bennett's, and now they're picked 12th year after year after year. So it's tough to get back in the glory days, and just like football, you know. But that's sort of my thing on Moose. I look forward to seeing who the new guy is and what his plan is.
Well, I hope you're not comparing Washington State basketball to Nebraska football, Jay, because that's kind of a ridiculous comparison. Okay, good. I'm just wanting to let you know. Nebraska football, for those of you who don't really know much about the history of college sports, Nebraska football was just absolutely dominant, you know, for many decades, just decades of dominance in the national picture.
And it's not anymore, and it's nearly impossible to become dominant again. It takes a huge amount of time and money. But
that's the key thing, is the money, and that's hence the FBI investigation. So, and now we've got a situation with Washington State, though, with Bill Moose gone, Ernie Kent. We've led the way in really, you know, calling out and questioning Moose's allegiances to Ernie, extending his deal 5 years after a 2-win Pac-12 season, things like that. What do you think a new AD could do for this basketball program? What would you like to see a new AD do for this basketball program?
I don't think they're rolling over contracts unless they're earned. And earned means the top 4 to 5 finish in the Pac-12. And other than that, you just let the contracts sort of go down. It's you're rolling over contracts with some nonsense Moose took up, and I can understand it with Leach, because Leach is a guy you don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. But frankly, if Ernie Kent left tomorrow, I wouldn't mind.
The reason they really roll them over is so they can tell recruits that they're going to be there. But the other side of it is that if you're not getting – I mean, that's the thing about Ernie as opposed to, for instance, Lorenzo – you're not getting recruits, really. You're getting some, but it's not like you're just – the recruits are so promising that you just have to do that. I just thought that was sort of a buddy deal, it felt like to me.
Well, that's what everybody thought it was. And, yeah, when you're getting he got an extension when he had 0 wins, I think. He's got a good staff in place now, and who knows, he's picked 12. If he gets in the top 6, that'd be good. But he needs to just start recruiting and start winning. And I don't think the AD is going to do anything more for that. The AD that they get, Moose had a lot of just, I mean, it's kind of like naming the football field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you sell those as rights. What's the name of the Husky football field? Do you know?
Right. I don't even know.
I don't know either, but you sell
Husky
those
Stadium.
Like Safeco Field. You sell it to Safeco for $100 million. And to right. me, I don't care if it's only worth $20 million or $5 million. I'd sell it to somebody. Because the Martins, who it's named after, they paid, I don't know, $10,000 40 years ago, but that's sort of used up. So that's
right.
But they need money because running in the red year after year might work at the University of Washington, but it doesn't work in Pullman because there's no boosters and there's no Oregon guy that's going to come through with $100 million. So it's all debt and debt service. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, I don't. I think the next guy needs to be a money guy, a guy that can find some money and talk to boosters and talk average guys into giving a little more and that sort of thing, so they get some of the basics covered and start cutting down the debt pile.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think I think they made the right moves with some of these assistant coaches. I think that was a smart move. I think obviously I'm a huge fan, you know, of Coach Haskins out of the Seattle area, and he's already shown to be successful in recruiting for them. Curtis Allen has gotten a lot of good players really out of the Tacoma area. And so I don't necessarily, I'm not quite as down on him as some people. I think he's still a solid guy to have there. Go ahead. And I also think that Seltzer's a good choice too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they have a really, really solid staff. And they got a recruiting coordinator that's a top-notch guy. And they got... I really think the staff is good, and it just unfortunately took so long
to figure
get
that out.
Staff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to wonder why they waited so long. You know, it just makes no sense to me. Because in the meantime, I mean, they're so far behind on recruiting, big guys right now. They've got some guys that are proven to be okay, but you need really good talent to compete in the Pac-12. You know, they really do, and they need to go out and get some big guys. And I don't know that I'm seeing it. We'll have to see. That's my next question for you. Is what are you hearing about this team right now as far as what they're looking like in practices? Is there a sort of a dark horse big or two that are going to really make a name that are going to change that outlook?
Well, unfortunately, I'm hearing that Bernstein is injured and won't be in until Pac-12 time, so that's a major blow on a redshirt senior. He's our big, our 6'8 transfer.
Right, that grad transfer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. He's our grad transfer, so that's a big blow. I think Cooper is going to have to step up, and I'm hearing that some good things on the three guys who redshirted last year, but Chitam, he's a 6'9 forward. I'm hearing good things on him and good things on Aqua. So, but Franks is going to have to hold down the fort and hope that they can, you know, get better and improve during preseason, and hopefully, Bernstein will fill in well. So that's sort of all I'm hearing right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I think that's kind of an indictment. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. But this has got to turn around. And what are you hearing on the 2018 class? I think that's the big question. I mean, right now let's just to give you a little bit of an advance notice on what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that Malachi Flynn and Mylon Aqua are doing very well. That's going to be a nice solid unit. that's going to be able to compete pretty well in the Pac-12. Not necessarily, you know, a championship level, but certainly one that's good. They can compete. Robert Franks, I'm hearing, is showing some good signs. There's a good story there. And I think that Pollard showed some nice signs. So they got a couple of guys that are, you know, promising, I guess, you know, would be the way, best way to put it, but certainly not proven. And then at the wing, I just don't know what they're doing. I guess maybe you can fill me in, but Deontay is a junior this year. Maybe this is the year he picks it up, but he's kind of small going up against some of the wings that he's going to be facing in the Pac-12 and in, you know, into some of the bigger programs around the country. You know, and they don't really have a lot of really big guards. KJ Langston's a little bit bigger, but not much, a little bit bigger. And Carter Skaggs is a sophomore.
I think Henson, the JC transfer, is the wing guy. Yeah.
Right. And so these are the guys we're going to be hearing from. What are you hearing about that group of players, these wings for Wazoo? Who's the guy that you think is going to be the one that's going to be the starter, or who's going to get the most minutes, do you think? Or what's your gut feeling?
I think Henson's going to be the starter. So that's what I think.
He's bigger, yeah. And then Deontay's more of a two guard?
I think he's more of a two guard, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I think that answers it. So, but the other question I have for you is the recruiting, and tell me what you're thinking about that. I mean, what's going on with the recruiting, and you know, where do you think they stand right now in 2018?
Well, they've CJ LB in, and he's verbal and. Just a really nice pickup, I think, 6'6", near 200, and a really good player. I think they're gonna be getting one of a couple, two or three big guys. Nothing seems to have happened as of yet, but we got Jacob Hughes, who they've been recruiting for, I don't know, seems like 5 years. He's a 6'11", 240 guy out of Cali. Mm-hmm. They got the kid out of Richland that I think
big
they
kid.
Got a really good, yeah, 7'3" or 4". Really pretty talented. Everybody seems to think he's, I don't know, he played on a super team, really an AAU ball, and runs the floor well and all that stuff. And I think he'll come to WSU. I just think that. I haven't heard anything. And they're also in the mix on JCs that are big, but they don't have too awful many openings. And then I saw the other day that I didn't quite understand. It sounds like Gittins is still coming back to WSU. So I guess I'm not sure that would seem to be a 2019, but I might be wrong.
We're talking for a JC transfer? Okay.
Yeah. Well, if he wasn't qualified, then he'd have to be a JC graduate, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. Yeah. I don't really know the facts on that, though. So my
guess.
No,
I don't either. That's always. I don't know. Not a lot of. I mean, I guess I only have one spot left, and I think it's going to a big guy. And
Well, Ellaby is a really great story. He's going to be a great story for Wazoo if they could get Gittins back there. Then now you're talking guys who can really play ball, and then framing that with some of these other guys you've got. This big 7'3 kid from Richland, you know, he could end up being a pretty big story. You know, you never know. If a guy's got that kind of size and wants to work really hard, a lot can happen, you know. So I guess it doesn't look so bad as it maybe seems, but this year's going to maybe be a little bit trying. Like you said, they're picked last, so questions with the new athletic director. You know, will they retain Ernie? You know, I guess they sort of have to. He's got like what, a 15-year contract.
Oh yeah, he's got a 5-year that just rolled over, so there's no doubt. There's no doubt at all they're going to retain Ernie, and that's some of the stuff that, along with doing nothing on travel or facilities, really. But facilities are really tough. You got to put your money in football and everybody, and it's not like Friel Court is a lousy facility, but
yeah,
it really is. I don't know. I've been to most of the facilities in the Pac-12, the North at least, and it really isn't bad. They could probably use some new chairs, and it's a little too big. That's part of the problem is people, it's funny. It's like the football folks. The ones with the great big 70,000-seat stadiums, they complain because they have to play late at night. The people mm-hmm. that have the 35,000-seat one, they don't really care because they're selling it out one way or the other.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the Cougar news.
Well, that is the Cougar news. So we covered it, and you know, it's actually there's a little bit more optimism than I thought. So that was good. So getting on to the other pictures out there, the Huskies, Seattle U, we did last week and had a nice discussion with Amar Abdul Nasir, and you know, we covered that pretty well. You know, I think that the other, we've discussed Gonzaga here recently, which was good with Peter Woodburn from Slipper Still Fits. And that's obviously an interesting picture that's going to be made for another fun to watch season over there in Spokane. But, you know, we haven't really talked much about, and the Pac-12 media day was this last week, and we haven't really talked that much about the Oregon State, you know, tandem. And I think I'll probably be looking to bring in somebody to discuss that here shortly. And we're going to be talking quite a bit about just the general picture in college basketball with the FBI investigation, with the NCAA. What's your take on the news today that Rick Pitino was officially fired for cause today?
About time.
Okay. All right. You going to go further than that, or just you're going to leave it there?
No, that's you know, okay. I'm not a Rick Pitino fan. Never have I ever been. And
yeah,
yeah. I mean, you play. You know, it's kind of sad in a way, but all this basketball stuff is. It's to me, all this basketball, FBI, NC2A, I think it's all kind of sad. The African American assistant coaches take it in the absolute shorts, and you know, you're talking about guys who ruined their life for $20,000. And it's like, and they're caught. They're not out of that.
I'm not trying to say that because I'm a huge advocate for the fact that the African American assistant coach is the one to get the blame. But the fact is, they're making more than $20,000. I mean, all they're able to catch them for right now is one, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20. But if they're doing that with everybody they're dealing with for years and years and years, it turns into millions of dollars.
Right,
but that's not even half the money that's being made. The real big money is being made by the people that are putting him in that position. Okay.
Right.
And
the real big money is made by the shoe companies
and the shoe
and their endorsements and all that. And that's the people.
And the agents. Don't forget the agents. The agency agents are the ones who are making huge money. Yeah,
right.
Just
the
incredible money on these pro players.
The NBA and the NBA shoe contracts. And it's all basketball is just a remnant of what it used to be. And that, to me, is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
why I've advocated for changing the system. That's why I've stepped up where a lot of other people are just want to keep their mouth shut and are afraid of standing up to it. I've pretty much stood up to it. So, you know, the people that can go on and for years and years told me that I was crazy and this and that and the other, I think they're finding now with this FBI investigation that, you know, the FBI doesn't usually go after people and get judges to approve wiretaps and things like that, unless there's something there. So I have a feeling that there's going to be more to this, and I'd love to see some of these people go down because they're not good people. And that's the bottom line. I don't care what anybody says how John Calipari is a great guy, Dick Vitale, or these others. They're not good people, okay? So, okay, that's my statement. Let's move on to another statement since I know you don't want to talk about this. Okay, how about this? How about these Oregon Ducks? Now, there they are down there in Eugene. They've got a retooled club. They've got a bunch of grad transfers. They got now a bunch of five-star freshmen to boot they've been able to get. Why are people picking them so low in the Pac-12? I can't believe this. Wow. They've just done nothing but win and outperform their projection for 5-10 years now with Dana Altman. Why are they being so picked so low, Jay?
I have no idea, but the one thing I can tell you about projection,
yep,
in Pac-12 basketball, is the projections are just horrible. I don't know who these people are that make these projections, but they ought to put their names up and list their picks, you know, kind of like the Associated Press on football. You know, you gotta put out your list and where you pick who. I mean, it's like the Ducks. Not only that, I think they have the best coach in the Pac-12.
He's a good coach. Yeah, there's no question about it.
He's just an excellent coach, and he does nothing but just, you know, he gets all these folks.
Yeah.
And every year, and you're right. Where do you pick them?
I don't see how you could possibly pick against them. They were the most dominant team last year. I know they lost to Arizona in the Pac-12 final there in the tournament and stuff like that. But, you know, there was a lot of parity at the top, Nick, last year with Lonzo Ball and with Arizona being as good as they were and even USC being as toned as they were. They're looking to be more of a favorite this year, too, even than they were last year with everybody back. Even with the FBI investigation hanging over their head, and same with Arizona, too. I think that's got to possibly affect this season. I don't know how. I mean, you can get the NCAA to butt out until after the tournament so everybody can make their money, but I don't know if you can get the FBI to do that. So we'll see if that slow boils itself to the point where USC or Arizona can get some big-time success this year before they get nailed. But the thing is, FBI is not going to nail their team anyway. That's the NCAA's job, and I don't know what the NCAA is going to do. They're not going to do anything.
They're not
going to
do anything.
I think you're going to see the guys go into jail, and the NCAA won't do a thing. That's kind of almost what I'm starting to see. Yeah.
That is absolutely the absolute truth.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see guys going to jail and the NCAA act like it's normal stuff. Oh, yeah, you went to jail, huh?
Well,
you know, nothing to do whether they cheated or not. Exactly. It's become such a joke. But the thing is, will people continue to stand for this as a way to officiate a sport?
Oh, absolutely. Sure they will.
They will? So the NCAA is going to go on and on like this. I mean, they leveled the death penalty to Penn State because of this guy molesting boys or whatever. But yet they won't do any of that. And that's good. I'm glad to see that. That shows moral leadership. But to me, why won't they do it for guys paying, taking bribes or paying bribes?
Well, they didn't do anything to North Carolina, did they?
You know, that's just about the biggest joke of all. I can't even believe that, Jay Townsend.
I mean, for me,
I can't even believe. I mean, for me, when you got a school that's willing to put their national reputation, and they base their national reputation is the basis of them getting federal grants, their statewide reputation, and because they run, they're officially a part of the state. I don't know if you know this, but the people who are the people in charge of North Carolina, actually they're employees of the state of North Carolina. So they put, put all their entire reputation of their credibility as a university to say that they have classes that are just absolute bull. And the only reason it's okay and it shouldn't be penalized is because anybody can take them, not just the players they're trying to keep on there and to exploit their playing ability while not giving them anything at all except for money under the table and an education that's worthless. And yet, but it's okay because other students can take those classes too. So therefore, my graduate degree from North Carolina is worth what? How much is that worth now? And why is it that I deserve, because of my excellent in integrity and academic achievement, deserve federal grants? And why is it that I deserve a huge budget from the state for you know, because we're such a great university? I mean, they're willing to put all that on the line just to get out of losing scholarships or losing a postseason appearance 1 year or whatever the heck they'd lose. I think it's just disgraceful.
I do too, but it worked.
And it worked. And a bunch of lawyers are happy. A bunch of lawyers got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know. And there. Exactly. And yet nothing's going to change. In fact, what's going to happen is other schools, other parts of the country, are going to say, "Hey, it worked for them. Why should we keep on playing a big charade?" More bogus classes. And to me it's really offensive on a lot of levels, because African American history, specifically African music history, is a big part of what I've been involved in here in the last few years and in my research. And it's an incredibly important study and incredibly detailed and important lineage between that and some of the most important things going on in our culture. And some of the most important contributions of American culture to the world, yet it's treated in this action by Carolina as something that's, you know, not even really a course. So that to me is also extremely offensive. So the whole thing is just grossly offensive. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to get mad about and dump to do something about it, Jay. What's going to take?
Well, you know, I think it's going to take the FBI nailing about 25 schools and all their coaches and coaching staffs. And you can see some of it. It's, you know, it's just like you can see some of it starting. So you just hope it goes far enough and deep enough.
Yeah, I hope
going
so too.
Nike and all the rest of the people next.
Yeah, well, that's the other news is they're starting to go after Nike too. Yeah, I know that's good news. Yeah.
Well, and you can see some of the players like Brooks, he's bailed on USC, and so he's back on the market. He'll be undoubtedly going to WSU, you know.
By the way, I did talk to Jen Brooks, his mom, and just for people listening for the recruiting news out there involving University of Washington, I did talk to Jen Brooks, and she told me that that he's out there. He's completely starting over his recruiting, and he's basically looking and seeing what's out there in Berkeley, the team that was second on his list or anything like that. She said specifically he's looking at all options right now.
Yeah, well,
that was Jen Brooks. That's Jerron Brooks' mother. So that
right.
And that's official.
And that's
them.
That's the reasonable approach for a young man to do. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe there's enough folks like that that'll, you know, look at things and change their mind, and it's kind of, you know, anyway, maybe there's some hope. So, in the meantime, I think some of us will be watching Seattle U and Eastern Washington play a few games this year.
That's right, and the Washington Huskies are going to play Eastern Washington too, I would like to also add. And so there's definitely some hope. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of hope. I mean, you know, I'm not holding out a lot of hope for Washington Huskies right now. I think they're starting over. It's going to take a while for them to get anywhere again. But that, you know, the hope I'm holding on to is that Wazoo fired Bill Moose, so that Jen Cohen is next. But Actually, Jen Brooks's exact quote is, he has no favorites as of now. He's in the process of sorting out his options. So there you go. That's exactly what she said. So at any rate, I think that's about it for really, Jay Townsend, for our Talking Hoops this week. I think we've really covered a lot of territory. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with all the things that are out there. And, you know, I think that Mike Hopkins seems like he's doing a good job. I mean, Ernie's in a – could things looking up based on your assessment? You know, Eastern's looking good right now, you know, with Shante Leggins, Jim Hayford over there at Seattle U. The picture couldn't be any better there than it's been since they started up in D1 again. And then Gonzaga is going to have another one of their quote unquote rebuilding years where they probably end up in the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's just going to be another good year in the state here, man. What do you think?
You bet. All right. Well, it's been enjoyable and nice to see Coach Leggins on the show again, and we'll have to get a few of the. I'm kind of interested in this. Defense at Portland State. I guess I'll have to do some research on that.
Well, I'm going to definitely reach out to Coach Peary, and I'm definitely going to have some coverage from Portland Pilots too with Coach Terry Porter, and then I definitely going to be reaching out to Boise State again. We're going to get some folks from there on. I'm definitely reaching out to Montana and Montana State both, and then Oregon and Oregon State. We definitely are going to be focusing on them a lot more this season as a result of just my time being more easy to spread around, being that Washington is not so much of a focus for me. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a great year for Talking Hoops to really get the whole Northwest. I might even make a call to Pocatello and maybe poke around at those Idaho State Bengals. We'll see what happens. I've never actually covered them. It might be time, and you know, we'll just have to see what happens. But there's definitely a lot to look forward to when it comes to Talking Hoops. And I forgot the fact of those Big Sky projected champion Idaho Vandals, who are another. I always forget about them, but they're going to be one of the top stories in the Northwest this year. So there's definitely going to be a lot going on here, Jay. Oh boy. Well, anyway, I think Jay thought that last quote of his was a sign off, and I should have taken it as one too. But so, hey, you know, based on everything that's going on, we're back in the swing of things with the hoop season. We're going to be back churning it out here with Talking Hoops. So we've taken it kind of light this summer, more light than we've had taking it, you know, for, you know, in all the way through basically the end of September, we were kind of spotty in our consistency as far as doing these shows for a variety of reasons. But now that we're back in the swing of things, I can safely say that we're going to be doing a show every week, and I hope to really do some great things with Talking Hoops this season. And really thanks to everybody who supports us, and bless you all. And we'll see you next week on Talking Hoops. This is Jim Bass Night. Always be a good sport. Be a good sport always, as the great Bob Robertson would say. All right. See ya.